Can we take a minute and just say this? You know, Pastor Brian, the last few times he's got up, he always says that to pray for our pastor. And I don't want to steal that, but I want to say thank you to our pastor. And how many of you guys appreciate our pastor and his wife? They are amazing. We love you. We love you. Our church is who it is. Our church is who it is because of who they are, and they let us be real. Do you appreciate that? I do too, and I'm so glad that you're here today. If you have a Bible, will you turn in it to the book of Acts? This week has been a nightmare for me. Is that okay to say? So I normally spend between 6 and 8 hours to prepare for a sermon. This week I spent over 30. I'm not exaggerating. I really did, and the reason why is I prepared a sermon, and then I didn't like it. And so I prepared another sermon, and then I didn't like it. And I'm sitting in my office going, ah! And Pastor Wayne goes, dude, what's your problem? As he's walking by and I'm growling at my TV screen or whatever, my computer screen. And he goes, dude, Jeremy, it's not that big deal. Just preach something else. And I was like, okay. So I then prepared another sermon. And then last night, God just changed that again. So here we go. All right. So last week, Pastor Wayne talked about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does. And this morning, I want to talk about that again. I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit does and who he is and how that affects us life, our lives. What's the point? So last week, I want to start with reviewing what our pastor ended with last week. He ended with 2 points, and the first one was simply this. He preached out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he reminded us that the Holy Spirit gives us power so we can share our testimony. That the Holy Spirit gives us power so we can share our testimony. How many of you know that God wants to help you communicate his word, right? That God doesn't, he wants us to talk about what he's doing, right? The scripture says in Revelation that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the, wait, that means you gotta talk, right? So God wants us to talk. God wants us to, and he empowers us to do that. And then the second thing that Pastor Wayne talked about was that the Holy Spirit helps us to grow in our Christian maturity. And I'll say it this way. See, God wants us to share our witness in words and in our life, right? And you know that old saying that St. Francis of Assisi said, he said, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. And what I believe is this, is first, the Holy Spirit works in us so that we can share the gospel with our life, but he also empowers us so we can share with words. And it's not one or the other, it's both, right? Do you ever know somebody that talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk? Do you feel very encouraged by that, right? You know somebody that just does all kinds of stuff and you can see it, but you wish they would talk about what they're doing. You're trying to figure out how to learn and they don't ever talk about it, right? And both are not, both can be, have their advantages, but what God wants is both a life lived and a voice that speaks for him. And so out of that, I want to continue with where we are. And so we're going to jump into Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. But let me say this before I read this. Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. Before I read this, let me say this. In church circles, you can talk about God the Father, and everybody's like, cool, right? You talk about Jesus, and everybody's like, cool, right? You talk about the Holy Spirit, and people are like, ah, right? Either they get tense, they get nervous, or they get weird, right? And it's like, no, ah, and you're like, what is you doing? You drank way too much caffeine to come to church today. And they're like, no, it's the Holy Spirit. No, you have a caffeine problem, right? And why is it that we can talk about God, and we can talk about Jesus, but when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we get nervous? Anybody ever get nervous when you start talking about the Holy Spirit? Be honest. Thank you for being real. I appreciate you. You're the only one. So, seriously, you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and we get anxious, and here's the thing I want to say to you this morning is Jesus, and I'll show this in the scripture, Jesus, everything Jesus did, he did by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's not anything that we have to be nervous about. He's not scary. He is God. It's one of the points Pastor Duane showed us last week. The Holy Spirit is God, fully God. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, it says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating and drinking with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the date the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white clothes stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," he said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." Jesus, I thank you for your word. It is living and active. And so, God, I pray that it would penetrate our hearts. God, I pray that it would enter our minds. God, I pray that we would be good soil, that, Lord, the word would take root, and that it would produce a harvest. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. As we read these scriptures, I'm going to just break this down first like this. This first verses, verses 1 and 2, says this: "In my former book, Theophilus." Now, this man, Theophilus, Luke is writing the book of Acts, and he writes it like a doctor or like a lawyer. What he did is he investigated what was happening. He met and did like eyewitness accounts. He met with the people. He had interviews, and he was like, "Hey, listen, is this true? Did this really happen? Hey, what about this detail?" He was very, very purposeful about his account of the gospel, but also his account here in Acts. He was a lawyer. He's a doctor. He recorded things on purpose. He wanted the details. He investigated this, right? And he wrote this to this man named Theophilus. He was a real-life man. It wasn't just figurative. He really was a man that had this name. But here's what I think is really cool. And if you get nothing else out of service, know this. The name Theophilus means this. It means lover of God. Okay, how many of you love God? If you don't raise your hand. It's okay. So if God thinks you mean it when you raise your hand, okay? So if you love God, okay? So guess what? This book of Acts and the book of Luke was written to you. That could change your life. Listen, this book called the Bible was written to you. It's not just about a bunch of old people that died a long time ago, okay? It's not about a history. It's not just about the Jews. It's not just about what happened a long time ago in Jerusalem. No, this is for us. It's recorded so that we can have life change. And if you'll read this book, it will change your life. Do you agree? This book is for you. It's not just here. It's for you. Are you listening? Because it's for you. He says this, Paul says this, "I wrote all that Jesus did and taught." Do you understand that Luke purposely wrote down what Jesus did? Now, how many of you genuinely want to know Jesus more? Okay, go ahead and put your hands down. Don't raise your hand for this one. How many of you don't ever read your Bible? That's good. You didn't raise your hand. First service, my friend in the back's like, I appreciate your honesty. What Luke did is he says this. He says, "Hey, I wrote this down so you can know Jesus." And my first challenge to you this morning, and it's not anything to do with my sermon, it's just something I'm trying to get you hooked on, okay, is the Word of God was written for you. And if you want to know Jesus, Luke wrote it down so you could know more about Jesus. And so if you want to know how to be a Christian, you want to know how to change your life, you don't like your circumstances, there's one that was recorded about in the Word of God so you can have a different life. And Luke writes this down so you can believe this. He records it so we can know what Jesus did. Luke wrote it for me and you. It's important for us. In these first verses, here's what's crazy. It says this. It says in verse 1, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit." How did Jesus give instructions? Who did he give instructions through? Now, you don't have to raise your hand again, but does anybody get nervous when we start talking about the Holy Spirit? Right? You get nervous, you're like, "Hey, listen, oh, those Pentecostals." Right? And here's what I want you to understand. How many of you want to be more like Jesus? Jesus did everything through the Holy Spirit. Is there any reason for us to fear the Holy Spirit? Because this is what the scripture says. Okay, we can go home now. No, like seriously, we complicate the gospel. We complicate everything. But here's what this says. Jesus says it like this. He says everything, Luke recorded it, everything that Jesus did, he did through the Holy Spirit. We should do that too, right? Right? I love this. See, Jesus started something. Jesus started something. I love how Luke records this. He's like, listen, hey, in my last book, I recorded everything Jesus did. In my last book, I recorded everything that Jesus said and taught and he did. And guess what? Jesus started something. Jesus started something. Jesus began to move in people and he began to do all kinds of crazy things. He stirred the world. He started something. He started something. In verse 3, it says this. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. See, Jesus is showing up in their lives. Jesus is giving convincing proofs that he's alive, and it's more than once. And here's what I love. I love about Jesus. Jesus doesn't just show up and be like, I'm alive. See you guys. And they're like, wait, was that bad pizza? Was that okay? Did that really happen? Hey, wait, do you remember that one time? How many of you have played sports and things like that? I played volleyball and I rollerbladed, and when I rollerbladed, we had a rule that if you could do a trick once, that was good job. But you couldn't do the trick until you could do it twice in a row, which caused me a lot of pain because I would learn, so I got it. And here's what I know and what we see in Scripture is that Jesus didn't just show up once. Jesus showed up many times, and he gave many proofs that he was alive. And now listen, friends, here's what I want to tell you. Jesus wants to prove that he's alive still today. Okay? Jesus isn't done proving that he's alive. Jesus is still showing up in people's lives. Jesus is still moving. In first service, I preached, and I had a lady come up to me, and she said, hey, listen, I just want to share this with you. She goes, my husband, he had like a mass and the doctors were worried and they're going to have to go take it out. And they get in there and it's gone. We prayed and God healed him. God's still working today. God's still doing something. See, Jesus started something, but Jesus is still working. He's not done. And what Luke records for us is that Jesus started something, but he is not done. He's still doing stuff. Jesus wants you to know that he's still alive, he's still working. How many of you know that we serve a God that didn't just die on the cross, right? What did you guys celebrate at Easter about a little over a month ago? Did you celebrate that Jesus died for you, or did you celebrate that he rose again, right? That's the distinction in our religion, our relationship with the living God. The difference is that we don't serve a man, we don't serve a God that just died a long time ago, right? We serve a God that rose from the dead and promised to raise us from the dead. We serve a God that is living and active, and he gave proofs after he died on the cross that he was still alive, right? And he wants to do the same thing for us today. He's God made flesh. Many of us have had these kind of experiences in our life. We've had convincing proofs that Jesus is alive. And I believe that as we gather here in this morning, Jesus would tell us the same things that he recorded in these verses. He's saying, listen, I want to show up in your life. I want to prove that I'm real. In fact, I want to show up in your neighbor's life, and I want to prove that they're real. I am still working today. Is that good? It is. In verse 4, he says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. So listen, I want you to get this, because this might mess you up. Okay. Do they have knowledge that Jesus is alive? They've got proof, right? Are they following Jesus? Yes or no? They're following Jesus. And Jesus says this, hey, listen, there's more. Do you see this? See, Jesus is showing up in their lives. They're saved. But he still says, wait, don't leave. I got something more for you. I got something more for you. I need you to wait. It's not done yet. Wait. Wait. Wait for me to speak. Wait till I do something. Now, this is where we start getting nervous. This is where we start getting anxious, and we're like, But listen to this. Read these verses with me. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift who promised? Okay, how many of you would like gifts from God? Okay, the reason why I do this is it keeps you awake. This isn't how you raise your hand. This is how you raise your hand. How many of you want gifts from God? Like, really? Okay, who gives the Holy Spirit? Jesus, but who's the gift from? So why are you scared of it? Like, seriously, we complicate this. And what I'm saying, I'm trying to make this very, very practical. I'm trying to make this really, really real, is the reality is Jesus is saying, listen, I know you know about me. I know you believe that I'm raised from the dead. You just put your hand in my side, Thomas, okay? I just ate fish with you guys. I just hung out at a campfire with you. You believe that I'm real. There's something more. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's a gift my Father promised. But here's what I love is this command. And this is my very favorite part. Jesus says, wait, there's more. Wait. See, there is power available for you. There is power available for you. It's not just for these guys, right? Who is this book written to? Lover of God, right? This book was written to us, and what Luke is recording is saying, isn't this is for you. This is, in fact, Joel says this. You can read this in Acts chapter 2, when Peter, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and this fire falls, and all kinds of things happen, and I could preach that, but I'm not going to today. I spent a lot of time already there this week, okay? But listen, here's what he's saying. Paul's saying, listen, they get done, and they're speaking in all kinds of different tongues, and everybody's like, dude, those guys are drunk. You read this in Acts chapter 2. And Paul gets up and he says, hey, no, this isn't drunk. What this is what God promised through the prophet Joel. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On what? All flesh. On your sons and your daughters. That means boys and girls, right? Right, ladies? Boys and girls. It says you're young and you're old. Woohoo! You can go to the senior lunch or not. It doesn't matter, okay? He's saying, listen, God will pour out your spirit on all flesh. He's saying, listen, I'm going to move through all age groups. I'm moving in boys. I'm moving in girls. I'm moving in young. I'm moving in old. And then he says, listen, I will talk to you in different ways. I'll pour out visions and dreams, right? And he's saying, listen, I'm going to speak, and this is me speaking. That's what Peter says in Acts chapter 2 about this infilling. It's for all of us. See, there is power available for you, and that power is to do something. See, listen, it's not rocket science. It's simple obedience. Will you wait for God to speak? Will you wait for God to empower you to do his mission? See, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to accomplish the mission that God has given us. See, God has a mission. God has a mission. It's his power, and we get to do it. God has a mission, it's his power, and we get to accomplish it. God gives us power to do what he asks. Listen, this waiting thing is super fun, right? Isn't it? In verse 5, he says this, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So wait, I want you to get this. Jesus says this in the early verse. He says, listen, wait for the promise my Father has given, right? Wait for the promise. What is the promise? He then tells us. Luke records it. And he says this. He records Jesus' word. He says, for John baptized with water. The promise is what? The Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The promised gift is the Holy Spirit. Why is this worth talking about? Jesus has something for you. It's the power to accomplish his mission. And he says, wait for it. I know you know about me. I know you've heard about me. I know you believe in me. There's more. I got something for you. And it's so you can accomplish my mission. The simplest terms, let me say it like this. When we accept Jesus, we accept all of God. Agreed? We believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they are all fully God, right? So when we accept Jesus, who do we accept in our hearts? We accept Jesus. We accept God. We accept the Holy Spirit. I'll mess up your theology right here. We always like, I have Jesus in my heart. Jesus says this, right? He says, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, hey, listen, guys, I'm going to die, and I'm going to go away. And the disciples like start freaking out, and they get upset, and they start yelling, and they start panicking, right? And Jesus says this to him. He says, listen, it's good that I go, because if I go, I will send the Comforter, the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, and he will be in you. So Jesus' own words is saying, listen, hey, I know that we teach that you accept Jesus, but Jesus is saying, listen, when you accept me, you accept who? Holy Spirit. We accept all of God. Listen, we don't go like this. I think I like God the Father because he loves me, so I'm just going to accept that piece, right? And then Jesus died for me, and so I accept Jesus too, right? And then, but that Holy Spirit stuff, that's weird. I went to a church once, and they were doing stuff that was Holy Spirit, and it was just weird. I don't want any of that. And we're good because we got Jesus. Isn't this what we do? And what Jesus is saying is there's more. And when we accept Jesus, we accept all of God. But he's saying there's a second work. There's something else that happens. Listen, it's more than just accepting Jesus, more than just having Holy Spirit in you. He's saying there's something more that happens. It's a second work of grace. It's not asking for more of God. Listen, it's not asking for more of God. It's yielding more of you. Tim Enlow, in his book, Helping Others Receive the Spirit, he says this, many believers speak of needing more of God. The issue for most of us is that God just really needs more of us. When we accept Jesus, we accept all of God. And what we need to do is yield to him and do what he asks us to do. See, Jesus is saying, look, I want you to wait. I have something for you. It's more than just believing. It's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Wait for it. Isn't that the hardest part? Be honest. How many of you get upset when you or you do this? You put the microwave on, you put it for 30 seconds, and then you pull it out before it even dings. Like, be honest. Come on. Now, how many of you get upset because your fast food's not fast enough? Isn't this our common bane, right? Is that it's not fast enough, right? We download our college term paper from a website, and it's not fast enough. You don't do that, okay? Don't do that, okay? We do whatever it is, and it's not fast enough. Did you know you can Google anything, right? You can Google anything, and then we're upset because it's not fast enough. You know, you used to have to use books called encyclopedias, right? And here's what I'm saying is, listen, we get upset because it's not fast enough. And Jesus is saying, wait, why is this crazy? I want you to get this through. How many of you ever been to Portland? You have an appointment. It's at 2:00 and you're like, I just hope that I can get out of here before rush hour. Right? And you're planning everything. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is like, this town of Jerusalem, where they are at, is swollen. We're going to experience that like crazy here in August with the eclipse, right? You know, there's going to be people killing each other. There's going to be people, you know, carrying things. We're going to experience the apocalypse because the sun. No, that's what happened. Somebody's like, yes, we are. No, we're not. Okay. But what I'm saying is this is how it was for Jerusalem every year around Passover. Is the city, the population, some be doubled to tripled because all of these people, these worshipers coming into Jerusalem and the hurry and the bustle and all this stuff. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, guys, I know you're planning on leaving early tomorrow. You want to get out ahead of all of the horses and the carts because they make a mess, and I don't want to walk in that, right? No, I want to get out before all the other things begin to make mud tracks, and then I have to, like, drag my cart through all that stuff. No, I'm going to get out early. And Jesus is like, no. Avoid all the hustle. Avoid all the hurry. Wait. And isn't that the hardest part? Isn't that the hardest part? Now, listen, I want you to understand this. And here's what's crazy to me is in the scripture right here in Acts, he says, listen, I'm going to give you some power. I want you to wait for it. I'm going to give you some power. I want you to wait for it. I'm going to give you some power. I want you to wait for it. What were they waiting for? And see, we as people in the future, we read this and we're like, no, they're waiting for tongues, right? And we put all this emphasis. Did they know what they were waiting for? Do you know why they waited? Because God told them to. And they waited, and here's what I love. Even in the midst of their commands, the disciples just give me so much hope because they're so dumb. And I'll illustrate it this way. In verse 6, Jesus says, hey, listen, I got power for you. And verse 6, it says this. So they went to, when they meet together, they asked, Lord, is today the day you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has sent for your own authority. I'll say it this way. Jesus is like, hey, I've got some power for you. You're like, sweet, do we get to kill all the Romans? Like they pull out swords. Woohoo! They get totally distracted and they miss the whole point. And isn't that what we do? Is Jesus says, hey, I got something for you. I have power for you. And we start thinking about all these other things and we start plotting and doing all these things and we are irrational and we are like, yay, we get to overthrow the government. That's what they just said, right? That's what their hope was. That's what they believed the Messiah would do, is that he would crush Rome and bring Israel free. And what he's there saying is like, yay, we get to kill people. We're going to have a revolution. It's going to be awesome. And Jesus is like, you knuckleheads. I just see Jesus like as he's talking. He just puts his hands on his forehead and he goes, oh. But you know why I like this? Is because you and I are just like this, right? And we start thinking it's about this and it's about this. And we start, you know, you start talking about the Holy Spirit and you're like, I don't want to be like that weird guy in church last Sunday. And if you're that person, I'm not calling you weird, unless you are, okay? But listen, what he's saying here is this, is he's saying, listen, I've got something for you. It's going to be for you. It's going to help you accomplish my mission in your life. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. Don't start thinking it's something it's not. It's not about you. It's God working. In verse 8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why do we need Spirit baptism? Why do we need Spirit baptism? It's all about God affecting what we say. Plain and simple, it's about what God wants to say. Now listen, I told you I spent over 30 hours preparing this sermon this week after all said and done. And here's what I did. One of the things I did is I spent all this time looking at all these scriptures about the Holy Spirit, and the mass majority of all of these scriptures that you see, when you pull up the scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit, here's what you'll find. It says, and the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets of old. It says the Holy Spirit said this through this. The Holy Spirit spoke through this and saying through the Holy Spirit this. And he spoke by the Holy Spirit and he said by the Holy Spirit and he proclaimed by the Holy Spirit. Do you catch a pattern? That what the Holy Spirit did is plain and simple. God wants to affect what you say. But how many of you know that what you say has no influence if it's not lived also, right? And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to grow us to Christian maturity. And the Holy Spirit wants to influence and give us the boldness, the power to be witnesses with our words. With our words. God wants you to be able to speak for him and about him. See, my next point is this: get the power. Get the power. Now, I'm going to spend a moment here and just say this. Well, what does that look like? You know, in the old days, we had this thing called tarry. You'd wait, right? And we used this word. We didn't like the word wait, so we used the word tarry, right? And can I just tell you that, can I just make this really, really practical for you? Can I make this really, really just like everyday life for you? Why were they waiting in an upper room? Because God told them to, right? Why did they begin to preach in the synagogues and the things like that? Because guess what they did every weekend? They went to the synagogue because they were good Jewish boys. They went to the synagogue every time. You know when they stopped preaching in the synagogue? When they got kicked out of the synagogue, they began to preach in homes and preach in things like this. You know, their everyday life, God wants to use you in your everyday life when we get the power and the boldness. And how does that look? Practical. It looks like this. Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit because you told the disciples that there was more. And so, God, I want more. Not more of you. I want more of you to flow through me. I want more of you to use me. I want less of me and more of you, is how one author says it. Paul, right? Or I'm sorry, John the Baptist says it. He says, he must become greater and I must become lesser. The practicality of get the power is, it's not this. Listen, some of us, we sit here and we go like this and we're like, I'm going to read so I know about Jesus. And we fret and we wrestle and we're going to, well, you know what? If that's who you are, good. You should wrestle with the Word of God and struggle. And some of us, we just hear it and we're like, oh, pastor said it. I believe it. Can I tell you that God loves you enough to deal with you the way you are? Because if God talked to you the way he talked to me, you would be offended. That's not a joke. That's true. And what I'm saying is this, is get the power. The point is so we can be witnesses. The power is so that so we can affect the world around us. He's saying, get the power. I've got it for you. You just have to wait. You have to wait and make it real. This last point, verse 9 through 11 says this. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white robes beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This Jesus who you've seen taken into heaven will come back the same way you saw him go. Let me end it with this. Go to work. How many of you want to see God move in your life? Okay, I think God believes you when you raise your hand, okay? So you want to see God work in your life. Go ahead, raise your hand. So, you want to see God work? Begin to witness. You want to see God work? Begin to share what he did in your life. You want to see God work? You want to see Holy Spirit show up in a crazy way? Begin to share what he does in your life. And here's the real practicality of it. It doesn't take a lot. You can share in your brokenness and in your weakness. And you can share in all the things that God's doing in you. This, I've had a pinched nerve for the last month. And the first couple weeks, I couldn't even walk and do different things like this. Do you know how awesome it is to have to ask your daughter to put your socks on? It's not exciting, okay? And I have to lay there because I can't touch my toes. At 42, that's embarrassing. But I've gone to physical therapy and all kinds of weird things happen when you have muscle problems, okay? And you're laying on your face, and they're massaging you. And my nerve pain starts at the small of my back, and it goes through my buttocks, okay? Sorry to talk about this. I'm just making this practical for us, okay? So last week, I'm laying there, and the physical therapist is, like, rubbing this muscle. And a lady comes in, and he just begins to talk to the lady for the next 15 minutes as he massages this muscle. It's not embarrassing at all. I had pants on, thank you, Lord, right? But what's weird is they take this little thing and they put this little device on the muscles that shocks you. It's called a TENS machine. And it shocks your muscles. And they put that from my leg to my spine and all the muscles in between, okay? So just to be very real, it was on my rear, okay? And a woman comes in and she has to pull these stickers off of my bottom, and that's embarrassing, and I'm sharing it with the church, but here's why I share this. It's not just to be crass, but I want you to understand this. This lady, and I'm in this most embarrassing moment, you're laying there, and she does that, and then she gets done, and she's like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? No. Like, seriously, you know, and I got to have a conversation with this lady about what's going on in her life and what Jesus is doing. And here's the thing is, if you're here today, I'm glad you're here. And here's why, because you minister to people even if you may not know Jesus and be following Jesus. And I got to invite her to church. And the reason why I share that is, you see, we think too often that our shame, our embarrassment disqualifies us from proclaiming the Word of God. We think that the embarrassing moment of having stickers pulled off of body parts and we're like, nope, I ain't talking about Jesus. Is that real enough for you, my friends? And here's why I use this, and I'm not trying to be crass, I'm not trying to be over the top, but I want you to understand that in your shame, in your weakness, in your disqualifications is when God's power is most real. Now, am I telling you to go mess up on purpose? No. But what I'm saying is this, is that's when God's Holy Spirit filling us and enabling us to speak is in the midst of our brokenness, and you can have the boldness to say, hey, I can get past this, and Jesus loves you. Because here's what I know. Go to work. What we have a tendency to do is just like these disciples. We have just like these disciples. We're like, yeah, Jesus, and we're standing there watching him. And my image is this, is the angels show up and they're like, what are you guys doing? Jesus told you to go to work. Why are you standing here? Jesus told you to go to work. Why are you standing here? And I'll say it to you, friends. If we're just standing here staring at Jesus, are we successfully accomplishing his mission? See, here's what I read, and this is what I see, is Jesus doesn't just go to heaven. Jesus fills this temple, right? He fills this temple. That's what happens in Acts chapter 2. You'll read it. God pours out fire. He poured out fire on the tent of meeting in the Old Testament. When Solomon built the temple, he poured out fire on the temple. And when God filled this temple made of flesh and bone, fire was there because this is the temple of his Holy Spirit. This is where God's presence resides, is in these mortal bodies, and he makes it known to the people around us through you, your life, your Christian character, and your word. Agreed? And see, what God did is in his wisdom, he looked through future and he saw a person sitting in a house that doesn't know him. He sees them there. They're playing music too loud. They're driving too fast. And they're doing all kinds of things that are not glorifying for him. And he's saying, I know that person. I love them. So I'm going to send you to be their neighbor. True? And we're standing here going, there's Jesus. And I'm saying we need to have an experience with Jesus. Don't get me wrong. We need to have that time with Jesus. We need to know who we're serving. But what he told these guys is, hey, go to work. Go to work. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And I end with this. What's the point? See, Jesus started something. Agreed? Jesus is still working, and how he works, see, he's not done yet. Do you believe that? Jesus is not done yet. He's still working, and you know how he works? He works through you, and he works through me. He does not just work through pastors. Thank you, Jesus. He works through people just like these disciples, just like you and just like me, right? Jesus is not done yet. See, he started something. He's still working. He has power available for you to accomplish his mission. Get the power. Go to work. Can you guys stand? I want to pray for you. And these guys are going to sing some songs. And I just want to say this. Listen, there's something that happens when you listen to music. You guys all know this. If you're a parent, you know this. Your kids play that music and it just riles you up and you're... And then you put on your music and you're like, yeah, that's good. Music does something to you. There's a reason why we do worship. There's a reason why we do worship. And here's what I believe. I believe that God is a living God that can speak through a preacher. He can speak through music. He can speak quietly as you sit down. So I've had you stand because I'm going to pray for you. But here's your homework this week. It starts right now. Will you listen to God and do what he says? Get the power. If you're nervous about the Holy Spirit, I invite you to tell him. He's not scared of you. He's not going to move in a different way. He's not going to turn you into me, okay? He won't. He already has one of Jeremy. He's going to turn you into you, the best you that you can be. I invite you to talk to him. As we worship, maybe you need to sing the songs. Maybe that will help you. Maybe you need to sit and worship. Maybe you need to come forward. I don't know what it is, but here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that you ask God to talk to you. So will you repeat after me this morning? Jesus, I believe the Bible. I believe you're living and active. I believe you did everything through the Holy Spirit. And you said you would give him to me. So I ask for the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that means, but I ask for it. In Jesus' name. I want to do something a little, I want to make sure, listen, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, you don't know this God that died on a cross for you and rose again. I talked about that for a second. And this isn't a salvation message, but listen, I want to give opportunity. If you're here this morning and you say, I want to know that Jesus, I don't even know about this Jesus. I'm learning about him now. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you to accept him as your Savior, as your Lord. Is there anybody this morning? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. So here's what I'll say is, we got lots of room. Invite your friends, because God gave you power to witness. Maybe you just need to invite them to the senior lunch. Right? Is that practical for us enough? God, I pray you'd help us to follow you, speak to us as we worship.